are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
There are certain things that stories do to grab our attention. Sometimes it's a jump scare. You know, the kind that makes you spill your popcorn, grab the arm of the person next to you, and immediately reevaluate every decision that led you to watching that movie in the first place. Sometimes it's a plot hole. You know, that thing that keeps you arguing in the car all the way home, like you've been personally wronged by the director. Sometimes it's a new character that shows up out of nowhere, and you're left wondering, "Hey, wait. Who is this, and why do they suddenly have main character energy?" And then there's the quieter devices that movies and stories use. You know, the ones working underneath the surface. Foreshadowing, for example. Those subtle little hints that something bigger might actually be coming. Cliffhangers. You know, the moments that leave you hanging just long enough to ruin your sleep schedule because one more episode turns into four. There's the little known one, the red herring. Those are distractions, those things that send you in the wrong direction, but on purpose. Or symbolism, where something means something more than what it appeared to look like. And then irony, when what actually happens is the exact opposite of what you expected. Like when you think you're about to watch one quick video and then suddenly you're 47 TikToks deep learning how to build a tiny house out of popsicle sticks. Not that that's ever happened to me. All of that, every bit of it, all of those devices exist for one reason: to get your attention and then to make a point. And before I go any further this morning, I just want to say thank you to Rick Neer. If you've not met Rick, he was just up here. His message on Easter Sunday, walking us through the resurrection and then following it up last week with the ascension, it was powerful. It was clear and consistent. When he was talking about the ascension last week, I couldn't help but picture something. In my mind, it looked a lot like the final scene of the movie The Goonies. You know, where the ship is sailing off into the horizon and everyone is just standing there on the beach, watching, waiting, trying to process what would happen next. I wondered if that's what it felt like for the first disciples, standing there, looking up, watching Jesus ascend, and then just waiting. And maybe that's where a lot of us live too, looking toward the horizon, wondering what's next. Kind of like all of us are still somehow waiting for the Goonies sequel, which at some point feels less of a movie announcement and more like a test of long-term faith. I don't think it's happening. But that's where this morning takes a turn. We're in a series called Plot Twist. And it's what I'm actually doing right now. Because you see, a plot twist works by setting an expectation and then someone completely flips it. If we're being honest, most of you probably had an expectation of what was going to happen when I walked out on the stage today. You probably expected me to come out here with a little more chaos, maybe a little more energy, like a spider monkey who had just discovered energy drinks in a stage. And that would have been fair because maybe I've done that a time or two. But instead, you're getting something a little different. A little more measured, a little more calculated, a little more intentional, a little more refined. Something that looks a little bit more like Rick. And I'm not saying that to poke fun at him. I'm saying that because I genuinely value his friendship, his style, and I'm consistently blown away by what he does every time he steps up on the stage. There's a rhythm to it. A confidence, a precision. It's like he knows exactly who he's talking to, what he's going to say, and then somehow he still surprises you and me along the way. He'll drop an 80s reference that sounds like it's perfectly set up for the adults in the room, and then pivot to something current enough to make every single student in the room cringe. And just when you think you've got him figured out, he'll slide in a one-liner that makes you look over at his wife and think, I would not want to be him this afternoon. And yet somehow it all works every single time. There's an intentionality to it, a steadiness, a clarity, like a surgeon using a laser. Every movement, precise, nothing wasted, but still somehow full of life and humor and just enough edge to keep you leaning in. And this morning, whether I've pulled it off or not, that's what I've been trying to do. A plot twist. But if I'm being honest, I've been in that mode now for about 4.5 minutes, and it's probably pushing my personal record on sitting in a chair while preaching. So let's go ahead and do what every good story does. Let's introduce the plot twist. Because instead of staying in that particular lane, we're going to shift in just a second. We're going to step into a biblical text and let it do what it always does. It's going to meet us in a way that we didn't see it coming. And with that said, allow me to commence. To commence the version of me that you've been expecting all along. Slightly unpredictable, potentially over-caffeinated, somewhere between a spider monkey that just discovered energy drinks and a golden retriever puppy that just realized he can, in fact, catch his own tail. Plot twist complete. I'm done. No, I don't know that that was good or bad. I don't know. I love Rick Neer. I don't know where he's at, but I love that guy. I love sitting under his teaching, the way he does what he does, the writing, his delivery. It's so good. I'm so thankful for Rick. But I'm not him. And he's not me. And we've both celebrated that for both of us. So let's start over. I walk out every week. If I've not met you, and I usually introduce myself, I'll do that this morning. I usually start by saying, good morning, church, and then people, because you're the church, you reply back and say, good morning. We'll start there. Good morning, church. Good morning. Woo! All right. Hey, good to be with you. My name is Scott. I am the interim teaching pastor here at this church. What that means is we're in search of finding a new lead pastor, and they've not found one yet, and so you have to tolerate me. That's really what that means. But I love getting to do this, and I love spending time with you, plowing through God's word together. And so if I've not met you, welcome. That's not normal, but it is a way for us to set up what we're talking about today. That God's word is filled with stories that we think are predictable and go one direction, and then all of a sudden they flip and change. That you see characters behaving in one particular way, and then suddenly it's flipped completely upside down. You couldn't see the moment that I had, but about halfway through that thing, I caught a glance of my wife, and she went, She's sat with me many, many times, and she's been subjected, or she's listened to my teaching many times, and she was confused, like, what the heck is happening? And when we read God's word, sometimes the exact same thing takes place. If you want, turn with us in your Bible. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. We're picking up the story where Rick left off over the last couple weeks, where he talked about the resurrection, Jesus' death, but then the resurrection that we celebrated on Easter, he came up out of the grave. And then last week, he talked about the ascension, where Jesus spent time with his disciples after the resurrection. But then he sends a very clear message and said, now I'm going up into heaven. And when I leave, I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you. And that's where we're picking up the story today. I love my parents. I grew up in a home where we went to church every week. I got to be in Christmas pageants and Easter pageants. I was a shepherd once, an angel several times, figuratively. Our family cleaned the church like once a month. Like that was a thing that we did. So I grew up in the church regularly. And again, I love my background, but we always talked about the Father, the Son, and the... And if you caught that, that's exactly what I meant. We talked about the Father, Son, and the... We didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit growing up. And the Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity that often gets ignored because people don't understand the Holy Spirit. And my hope is that you walk out today just a little more clear. I'm not going to completely give you the full aha on the Holy Spirit today, but my hope is that it nudges you just a little further as we look at this story in the Bible. So Jesus has just left. He's gone up into heaven. His disciples had their Goonies moment where they're standing there on the beach like, now what do we do, right? What's about ready to happen, right? And these two figures speak and they're like, hey, go at it. Go do your work. And they're like, how are we going to do that? This story explains how these disciples then began to live their life and how the church began. And I don't mean the building church. I mean the church that took over the planet that we're still a part of today. Here we go. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. We're introduced to a couple characters in the story. Basically, a bunch of smart Jewish people and then guys from Jesus' small group. That's Peter and John. That's who we have here. Peter and John were speaking to the crowds, to the people. The smart folks were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they're talking about how Jesus had been risen from the dead and how he offers new life. That's actually what we're going to experience today. You're going to watch people go in the water, a symbol of their death, because you can't live underwater. But those of you family members, no worries, we're not holding them down, okay? But the apostles were talking about how Jesus went, died, and then came up out of the grave 3 days later. And so these Jewish folks, they're frustrated. They're like, I don't know that this is a message we should be talking about, but Peter and John had witnessed it for themselves and they couldn't help but talk about it. That's important. They seized Peter and John. So the smart guys seized Peter and John and they throw them in jail because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. And this is what's crazy. Here's our first plot twist in this story. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Isn't it crazy? They locked up Peter and John thinking, well, we'll just hold them over here so nothing happens overnight. But they get locked up and everybody who saw realized, oh, these guys actually do believe this, so much so they were willing to go to jail for it. All right, I'm in too. So 5,000 people come to faith because these two guys got thrown in jail and were sharing about their faith and wouldn't be quiet. You would think it would stop it, or they would then lie and go, well, or if it wasn't true, you know what? Actually, we didn't see it. We're not really sure. So yeah, all bets are off. Nope, they were convinced. And 5,000 people that day came to faith in Christ. We move on, verse 5. The next day, the next morning, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law, they met in Jerusalem. We get their names. Annas the high priest was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. So you got to picture the scene. You've got all of these scholars, right? These religious leaders there. That's why we got their names. Luke wanted to make sure we knew this was the who's who of religious leaders were there. And now they pulled Peter and John out of jail. They just spent the night in jail. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to ask them questions. All right, by what power and what name did you do this? If you go back and read chapter 3, they had just healed a couple people and they were watching the work of the Holy Spirit through these guys. And so they're like, okay, what's the trick? Like, what's the scheme? How are you doing this? Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, dramatic pause on purpose. This phrase, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. This is huge. This is huge. The Holy Spirit, again, this is the part I told you we were going to talk about this morning. The Holy Spirit shows up in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis, we see the text tell us that the Spirit hovered over the waters. So the Spirit was present in the very beginning of creation. God the Father was there, the creator. Jesus the Son, because we get in the beginning was the Word. God used words to speak everything into place. So Jesus was there. So Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelt upon the waters. He was everywhere. He was in the beginning. I want you to think about this like a, let's go ahead and put this up here. I want you to think about the Holy Spirit, since we're in this plot twist series about books. Think about these books up here. These are fake books. I made these up. But I want you to think about the Holy Spirit in kind of four books that we see throughout the Bible. The first book is this. The Holy Spirit was across the water. He was everywhere. That's the first movement of the Holy Spirit that we see. He was uncontained and he was everywhere. Oh, that's cool. Look at the water reflecting on the screen. Okay. So the Holy Spirit was moving like those things, right, on the water. That was the Holy Spirit. And then later we see God gives instructions, and we see this in some of the first five books of the Bible. God gives instructions to his people and says, here's, I want my Spirit to come dwell with you. And so build the tabernacle. And so there's these instructions on this tent that they carry around. He tells them how to build the poles and the tarps and the ropes and everything to build the tabernacle. And so when God's people would move, they would tear down the tent. They would take the big gold box from Indiana Jones. I mean, but they would take the big gold box. They would keep it in the tabernacle. They would put up the tent, and then God's Spirit dwelled there. That's the second movement. That's the second book, if we think about it. And then there's a third book that the tabernacle's moving around place to place to place, and you get this, you know, the big gold God box, and then God gives instruction, build a temple. And so now we get bricks and mortar, and so builds this great big temple in Jerusalem. And then inside the temple, there's a room, the Holy of Holies, and that's where the God box goes. And God's Spirit at that point was beginning to take up spaces. Right? So he's like uncontained, and then he's like taken to a smaller space, a tent, and then another permanent space, the temple. And that happened for years and years and years. And so when people wanted to experience God, they had to send a representative into that space, into that that Holy of Holies, that space, and that person would come back out. Their face was like glowing, like, wow, look at them. Like, they've experienced God. And it was only a few. And so that's why this event is so big. In Acts chapter 4, what's happening is there is this event where people are all coming to the same place one time a year. They all come and they show up here so that they could all experience the presence of God by sending a couple guys in, and they get some ahas and they're like, oh yeah, that was cool. They got to experience. And then God takes the lid off the box, literally, which is where we get this phrase. Now we can go back, put that last slide up. That's why it's so big when we see this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait, the same one from the box? Yep. Because God spilled out his Spirit onto his people. He's no longer in the space. He lives in the saints. He's no longer in a box. He dwells in us. That's why the Bible says we are his temple. The Spirit used to live in the temple, and now we, our body is the temple that houses the Spirit that is now mobile. That's the fourth book. To infinity and beyond. We get to go everywhere. His Spirit lives in us. That was the strategy. We're not going to lock it down. We're going to put it in the people that then go everywhere. So his Spirit is now mobile. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, look at this, this is so cool. He says to the rulers and the elders, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called into account today for an act of kindness showed to this crippled man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. I love this. He's getting courage now. He's like, oh, let's go. You want to know how this happened? I'm going to tell you how it's happened. It's so funny because this is Peter who just weeks before, when a little girl, a 10-year-old little girl, I made that up, but she was small, right? We don't know her exact age, but a little girl says to him, aren't you Peter? Aren't you the one who was with Jesus? You know what Peter said to her? I go by Pete. You know, you're thinking of Peter, like, you know, they call me the Rock, you know, like Chris Rock, like they, you know, like that's, you know, I'm not, he denies Jesus to a little girl. That's the same guy. And now he's standing up in front of this room of leaders. Like, we just got the list of names, so we knew all these leaders, how big a deal this was. He stands up before them and look at what he says. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom, by the way, you killed. I mean, he just calls him out. This is a different Peter. Was that you or him? No, not me. This is a different Peter. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you killed, by the way, but God raised from the dead. That's the reason that that guy got healed. That's the reason that we went to jail and 5,000 people came to Christ. Mic drop. Then he goes Old Testament on him. He quotes one of the Psalms that they would have all known. He says this, Jesus, he's the stone that the builders rejected. I mean, he rips it straight out of the Psalms. And these guys, they would have nerded out on the Psalms. They would have known this passage and verse, and he's just like sticking it to them. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. And then what follows? One of my favorite verses in the Bible, verse 13. When they saw, when the smart, intelligent, hyper-educated people, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I'm going to read that again. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, that wasn't from them, it was from the Holy Spirit in them. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That should give every one of us hope. You know what? Many of you in this room are way smarter than me. You've got more degrees, better grades. You're smarter than me. I get it. But this is great news for all of us. They were ordinary, unschooled men who had been with Jesus, and the church was riding on their shoulders. That's who was trusted with the launch of the church. And this isn't a point about like, okay, you shouldn't have gone to college. That's not the point. The point is we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, because as we surrender to the Spirit in us and follow his lead, he gives us courage to do things we could never do. He leads us to places we've never thought we could go. He helps us to accomplish healing and encouragement and wisdom and things that we never thought were possible. And it's available to us. He is available to us. That work happened to ordinary people with a purpose. Ordinary people who had a purpose. And let me just say this to every person in the room. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you move from an ordinary person to an ordinary person with a purpose. An ordinary person with a purpose. An ordinary person with a purpose. And God will fill you with his Holy Spirit and lead you to places so that you can show and share the love of Jesus. Well, but I don't know. That sounds hard. Yeah, it will be, but he will give you the courage to do that. It's his strength, not ours. The text goes on. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 27. Because now there's this battle of words between Peter, John, and the officials. Peter says this, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your Holy Spirit, Jesus, who you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. This is almost his prayer. He's saying, Lord, they walked right into your hands. Now, Lord, I would like for you to please consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. God, please stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after he'd prayed, this is so cool. Peter was good, but he wasn't that good. Peter didn't have power to do what happened next. This was his prayer. He prayed to God. And look at what the text says in verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Not because Peter had a great sermon and a great speech. Not because Peter was awesome and had been, you know, had gotten all the degrees and had been, you know, had the Sunday school stamps, like I got my gold star, you know, my yellow, you know, Jesus halo and my, you know, whatever stamp, the other stamp. Like, you know, I remember as a kid going to Sunday school and I would bring home erasers. I don't know why I got so many erasers as a kid. They used to give out erasers, but I got erasers in different shapes, like Jesus shapes. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I get those for, I would say a verse or something back, which I probably memorized like 2 minutes in the car before I got there. And then they would give me an eraser. I don't care how many erasers you have. It doesn't matter. You can have all the erasers. And if the Holy Spirit were not within his courage and his power, it goes nowhere. Peter was saying, Lord, it's your power, not ours. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is how I want to end this morning. I want to end with this prayer and the same blessing that Peter prayed. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to pray this same prayer over us. You've landed here today in part, we just want to watch these people get baptized, and I'll get out of the way in just a second. We got to watch this because this is amazing. But here's the blessing and the prayer that I want to pray for us, that we would be people. If Christ lives in us, if you've made a decision of faith when you were a kid at a church camp and at a Christian concert somewhere, at home with your parents, maybe it was a little small country church. If you've made a decision to surrender your life to Christ, I need to remind you, and I need reminded as well, but I want to remind all of us, at that point, what happened, at the point of our salvation, the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to dwell in us. I get really good at ignoring him at times, I'll be honest. I'll feel the nudge, I know he's calling me to do something, and I chicken out, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Peter just blew right through that. Maybe it was just Peter's personality, but he just prayed this bold prayer, and I'm going to pray this bold prayer for us as well. Lord, God, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. God, give us the courage this week to walk out of here, to show and verbally share your love with the people around us. Lord, empower, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. And God, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus, through us. God, may we be instruments of your word, of your truth. May we listen to your Holy Spirit to go to the places you want us to go, to say the things that you want us to say, so we can see people discover who you are, to know you, to love you, to serve you. God, I thank you for what we're about ready to see, what's going to be put on display for us this morning of people declaring you as their Savior. Lord, they've accepted you and they want to show and share your love with us to put it on display. Lord, I pray that we would be moved in our hearts and that would transform into action as we walk out of this place. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your Spirit. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.